This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Noel and Philip. Let's talk about revitalizing Malaysian capital markets, because yesterday the Securities Commission launched the third Capital Market Master Plan, or CMP3. This is a growth framework for Malaysia's capital market over the next 5 years.
Over the last decade, Malaysia's domestic capital market tripled from 1.4 trillion ringgit to 3.4 trillion ringgit. And just looking at the mid and small cap segment of the equity market has seen a higher number of IPO listings as increased trading activity too.
Some of the priorities of the five-year Capital Markets Master Plan include encouraging greater regulatory technology, making mid-tier companies one of its key development focus, empowering all Malaysians to invest for their future, facilitating the fundraising for businesses, as well as to mobilize more capital towards sustainable businesses. So can this master plan truly help Malaysia's capital markets expand its potential?
So for a reaction to the master plan, we speak to Dr. Liu Chi-Yong, research fellow at the Center for Market Education, and to tap his insights. Good morning, Dr. Liu. Thanks for joining us today. Does this master plan adequately address the gaps that plague the Malaysian capital markets?
In my view, I personally do not think that this plan has sufficiently addressed the gaps which plagues the Malaysian capital markets. It still does not address how capital markets financing in this country can actually be made more attractive and easier, as well as more secure for good quality firms to raise capital in this country. And when we talk about good quality firms, we are talking about firms which are extremely innovative, high up in the value chain, and has the capacity and capability to propel our economy into the fourth industrial revolution and beyond. And the objectives of this CMP3 are just simply not sufficient. So the Security Commission needs to come up with a stronger master plan, which provides significant incentives to encourage good quality firms, whether domestic or foreign, to raise capital in the Malaysian capital market.
So my general sense is that the recommendations are somewhat defensive and we could be more aggressive. So what sort of incentives do you think the master plan should provide or should consider?
Some of these incentives could include for example, providing tax breaks, for really those very good innovative companies. And I think that's what they are doing in countries like the US and so on. And also another important thing, so it's not just raising capital per se. So when we talk about raising capital, a lot of times we think about it's just the IPO. So I think the Security Commission needs to come up with a much more stronger plan that also include the so-called seasoned equity offering, meaning that after the firm have actually gone IPO, they also can actually further raise capital after that. And this master plan should make it easier for this process as well.
I mean, just to deep dive, the SC also said it will review its framework for SPACs. What kind of framework is needed to regulate SPACs to protect investors, while at the same time also promote growth in the capital markets?
I believe not just in Malaysia, but in any countries in the world, the problem with these SPACs is that very often investors do not actually know what the acquisition is all about. It means they do not know what kind of business or companies that the SPAC is acquiring in the process of raising capital. So this is the issue here, the transparency issue. More needs to be done on this issue, particularly in terms of how investors can have access to the information about the type of companies or businesses which are acquired by these SPACs.
Dr. Liu, could I get your thoughts on the way Malaysia's domestic capital market has grown over the past 10 years? I think they mentioned that it had somehow grown from 1.4 trillion to 3.4 trillion, if I'm not mistaken. I guess, what do you make of these numbers? How should we interpret this? Was this expansion within expectations?
That's another good question. Well, I mean, to be honest, I look at the downloaded plan yesterday when I look at the graph, basically, and from 2011 to 2020, yes, you can see that it's growing like what you said, 1.4 trillion Malaysian ringgit. But one thing you must understand, that I don't think that this tells us much about the quality of the firms in the capital markets. you can have very high growth of equity market capitalization and debt securities outstanding, which basically what the graph is trying to tell you. But the thing, but the issue here is, if the type of firms which issue equity and debt securities are not those good quality firms, which I have just discussed just now, then the trajectory of the real economy is still more or less the same, regardless of how much capital financing has been executed. So what we need here is actually quality capital markets growth in terms of the quality of the firms that raise capital, and not just focusing on the growth in terms of the amount and type of capital raise, which the graph is trying to tell you.
When the first capital market master plan was launched some 20 years ago, Singapore and Malaysia's total stock market valuation were about the same. Now Singapore has overtaken Malaysia. In fact, SGX as a listed company is worth 5 times more than Bursa Malaysia. What does it tell you about Malaysia's underlying economy? It's as though we have not had that enough quality companies that can command the kind of strong market valuation, and that's why the market has fallen behind.
Yes, yes, that could be a reason. I agree with you. Another thing is the probably Singapore has provide a better innovation ecosystem to attract better quality and more innovative firms to set up bases there, as well as lease in their capital markets to raise capital. The thing here is we must understand, when we talk about attracting good quality firms, it's not just about the cost of labor. You must also understand, in order to attract good quality firms, it's more than just the cost of labor. You must have the pool of skilled labor that are ready in the country. You know, like take for example, like India. You know, so many call centers set up bases there. Why? Because they have a pool of labor who can basically have a good quality command of English. Of course, labor costs play a part, but that is just one factor. Okay, so the pool of skilled labor is extremely important. And when we talk about highly innovative firms, you need highly skilled workers. So that kind of labor must be ready. Okay, that is something that people need to understand. The second thing is the facilities and so on. That also has to be built upon to attract these kind of firms, like the infrastructure and other facilities and transportation and so on. The thing here is, in Singapore, it's just a small country. So, and they have, you know, a pool of labor that are ready, and they bring in, like, you know, foreign skilled labor and so on. And of course, they pay higher, and skilled labor are attracted to go to Singapore rather than Malaysia, okay, because of the higher wages there. So that's another upside that they have compared to us. So I believe these are all the factors that play into the role why Singapore is, you know, slightly better than us, you know, or much more better than us.
Right. So you emphasize a lot about, you know, bringing more innovation in. So the SC via its plan aims to create, you know, a more inclusive capital market catering to mid-tier companies and micro SMEs, right? Is this a good idea? And is there any risk of extending capital market exposure to such smaller companies then?
I think this is a very risky move if you allow the small, medium enterprises and mid-sized firms to have easier access to capital financing. Why? Because these firms are generally riskier compared to large cap firms. Smaller firms tend to have less expert manpower to run the firm, more prone to expropriation by the owners of the firm, less economies of scale, and generally have less experience in their businesses compared to large cap firms, which are more established and more mature. Therefore, if you allow such firms to have easier capital market financing, there must be proper stringent regulations to accompany that. Otherwise, the possible outcome is that these type of firms may end up having financial problems or scandals, which can actually tarnish the reputation of the capital markets in this country.
Dr. Liu, thanks so much for weighing in with your thoughts on the Capital Market Master Plan. That was Dr. Liu Chi-Yong, Research Fellow at the Center for Market Education. What are your reactions to his comments?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the Capital Market Master Plan 3, I think there are some sensible recommendations to make it as easy as possible to raise capital without resorting to goodies that can actually just provide very short-term boost. I think the bigger problem is our underlying economy. We don't have enough world-beating champions to be listed and to grow that market capitalization of the you know, our stock market, right? And many may still not be coming forward to be listed for whatever reasons. The Bumiputra equity participation could be one, but perhaps many are also preferring the private equity route.
So it's a very interesting point, because I think this is where, what is the role of the CMP3, right? I don't think it necessarily is meant to, you know, try and lift the whole entire economy, but facilitate the capital markets essentially to make that work. So if you actually look into the plan, it's very interesting. I mean, Malaysia has made a lot of progress, and actually the capital markets has evolved quite a bit. And one interesting analysis you saw was that, you know, if you look at 10 years ago, like nearly 100% of alternative funding was through VC and private equity. But now if you fast forward to today, 2020, nearly more than half of it is point P2P financing and actually equity crowdfunding, right? With only VC now accounted for about 1/3 of your total alternative funding. So I do think that things have progressed quite a bit. And even you can see SME issuance and growth has grown, and you can see the ACE market also contribute a lot more. But the question is, can it go faster? That's the real question here.
Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.